AM. FM. In Your Face Radio.
Welcome to the Captain Jack Show. As always, I'm your host, Captain Jack. It is January 1st, 2012. Happy New Year to all my listeners and to all my non-listeners, listeners who actually outnumber my listeners by about 42 billion to 1. Today is actually my birthday. I am 52 years old today, and because it's my birthday, I've decided to give you gifts to, as a way of showing my appreciation for my loyal listeners. Around this time every year, you have everybody giving a top 10 list. You have, you know, the best and worst movies of the year, the best and worst TV shows, the best and worst dresses, fashion, anything that you can name, best and worst restaurants, etc. There's always a top 10 list. And I'm not going to do a top 10 list because, you know, as I said, everybody's done it. So I'm going to give my end of the year awards. And for some of you who are members of my my Facebook page, Orly's World, you've heard or seen some of these before, and I apologize for it being a little bit redundant, but I figured I would do it live. Well, actually, this is taped, or, you know, it's podcast, so it's not really live, but I figured I would just elaborate on them a little bit more. Now, my first award is for Entertainer of the Year. Now, there's absolutely, hands down, nobody who was funnier, more entertaining this year than Orly Tates. She is comedy gold. Now, I have said for a long time that she needs to have her own reality show. It would blow Curb Your Enthusiasm out of the water in terms of an unscripted show. Now, I like Curb Your Enthusiasm a lot, but following Orly Tates around with a camera, it would be, I guarantee it would be the number one show on television. And she gets Entertainer of the Year for just so many different reasons. Her masquerading as a lawyer, her pretending to be a dentist. I don't even know if she has a real estate license. I can tell you that she is absolutely the worst lawyer in probably the history of the world. And she just provides endless hours of entertainment. And I love when she gets videotaped and they put it up on YouTube, whether it's an interview or whether it's a hideous performance that she's in court. There's no possible way that this woman is being serious, because it has to be a put-on. Nobody can be that bad a lawyer. Nobody can be that bad in terms of her legal writing. Nobody can be that stupid. It has to be an act. The woman, just start from the fact that the woman writes with a Russian accent. I've never seen anybody who can write with a Russian accent. It's classic. The paranoia, everything. It's just absolute comedy gold. So we give the Entertainer of the Year to Orly Tates. And as I said on my site, runner-up is tied for second place in Entertainer of the Year are all the other birthers, because they are very entertaining, but Orly is just a notch above. Next, we're going to give the award for the best work of fiction for 2011. And for his novel, his work of fiction, Jerome Corsi gets this. Now, the book that he wrote that was pure fiction was Where's the Birth Certificate, which it's absolutely hysterical. It's the worst kind of quote-unquote investigative journalism that you can imagine. He started out with a belief or a premise and then set out to prove it. Jerome Corsi, who claims to be an investigative journalist, makes the basic mistake of inductive reasoning as opposed to deductive reasoning, which is inductive reasoning is where you find where you have a belief and set out to find evidence to support the belief, or I should say the conclusion. And so he wrote this book of fiction, and he actually had a second work of fiction this year, and it's actually ongoing. If you ever go to WND, every article, everything there has an advertisement for that book, which started out at, I don't know, $21.99 or whatever it was. And for the longest time on WND, they were practically giving it away, an autographed copy for $4.99. But they called it a New York Times bestseller, which in and of itself is a work of fiction, because it was never a New York Times bestseller. The only reason why it ever made any bestseller list was because WND itself bought bulk sales, basically to give out. Virtually no one bought or read this book. And so for his works of fiction, the two works of fiction, one is the book itself, and the second is the accounting of it being a New York Times bestseller, Jerome Corsi gets the award for novel of the year, or best fiction writing of the year. The award for the world's dumbest idea for 2011 goes to Joseph Farah. Now, for those of you who don't know who Joseph Farah is, I guess he's one of the people who runs WND, and he writes columns and articles on that website, but he has also been behind the, what are they called, I can't think of the name of it, the roadside signs, billboards, that's it, billboards. You know, it sucks to do this with a hangover. The billboard campaign that says, where's the birth certificate, or where's the real birth certificate? So we decided to get some traction out of this, which, again, the only reason why this is being done is to sell the books that were written by Joseph Corsi. But if you, but he decided to get some traction out of this by doing a, having a an airplane with a banner fly over an NFL stadium, so he could have close to 100,000 people see the banner that says, where's the real birth certificate? Only genius that he is, or maybe perhaps because he's cheap, I'm not sure which, he decided to do this during the day, over the top of a domed stadium with a closed dome that was probably about 4 or 5, maybe 6 hours before the game actually was being played. So there was nobody in the stadium. Even if there were people in the stadium, the dome was closed. And again, it was several hours before the game began, so there were not a whole lot of people even in the parking lot. So for the dumbest idea of the year, Joseph Farah gets the award. Now, we're going to give the Nobel Prize for Science to Michelle Bachmann. I know, that's going to sound very strange to you. This is a person who denies evolution. This is a person who denies basically anything scientific and has anything that's not in the Bible never happened. But she gets the Nobel Prize for Science because she has been able to prove, without a shadow of a doubt, proving all known scientists wrong, all psychologists, all psychiatrists, that you can pray away gayness. Now, I know that that's a very, very controversial subject, but she proved it. Because all you have to do is look at her husband. Now, there's absolutely no question in my mind, and anybody who has seen Marcus Bachmann will tell you that he's gay. But he leads a an allegedly heterosexual lifestyle, and he's married to Michelle Bachmann. So obviously he has prayed the gay away, and that's the clinics that he runs, so he must have done it on himself. So he is proof positive that you can turn a gay man into a heterosexual man. But it begins to make you wonder as to why Michelle Bachmann felt the need to take in 23 separate children as foster children. I'm wondering whether she's getting any action at home and whether the Pray the Gay Away actually worked for Marcus. I mean, at one time, I'm sure that Michelle Bachmann was a very attractive woman. She looks like batshit gone through a blender at this point, and she is, without question, batshit crazy. But at one time, I'm sure she's an attractive woman. Why she felt the need to marry a homosexual, I don't know. But keep that in mind, that she married a gay man. So when she makes her statement about the fact that she doesn't have any problem with homosexuals marrying as long as they marry somebody of the opposite sex, she's using herself as an example. So Michelle Bachmann gets the Nobel Prize for Science. And the next award is the award for doing anything possible to make yourself seem relevant. And that award goes to Donald Trump. Donald had an interesting year in 2011. He dabbled in birtherism. He pretended to run for the presidency to obtain the Republican nomination. He recently tried to moderate a debate of the Republican candidates, and when nobody decided to show up for his little party, he had a hissy fit and quit the Republican Party and registered as an independent, and is threatening to run as a third-party candidate, which of course he will not do. But all of this has to make him seem relevant, just as his reality show is, and nobody cares about you, Donald. Really, the efforts to make yourself seem relevant are pathetic. I mean, even to the point where if anybody questions your net worth, you have a hissy fit, and that we all know the reason why you won't run for the presidency. You claim to be a multi-billionaire, and you probably have a few million dollars. And that's not to say that you're not a rich man, at least financially, but nobody, you're not going to disclose your financial assets because your ego is so high that it's so important for you that people believe that you're a billionaire that you will never run for public office. And I think the efforts to make yourself seem relevant are pretty pathetic. But as obvious as this choice may seem, it really wasn't open and shut to give this to Donald Trump, because there's somebody who was very close in the running on this, and that's Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin also had an interesting year in 2011, where she has these tours and these pretend campaigns, and she is nothing more than a washed-up, failed governor who is a dim-witted quitter, who really, any time the going got actually tough, she quit. And there are people in the Republican Party who played her like a Stradivarius, because the Republican Party doesn't want her to run, and the conservatives in this country don't want her to run. They consider her a joke, so they stroked her ego and made her think she was a kingmaker, and that the presidency was actually too small for somebody with as much power as she has. But she has no power. She is a meaningless person. She is a nasty, again, dim-witted person who did everything to make herself relevant. She has no understanding of protocol. She doesn't have any problem stepping on other people's toes. I mean, what was it? Was it in New Hampshire that, you know, she had this rolling caravan of stupidity, which she was on a nationwide tour, which she quit, by the way. And she goes into a state on the same day that I think Mitt Romney was announcing his candidacy for president. Anything to get a headline. And some of her comments this year were beyond absurd. Her comments about American history. This is a woman who knows nothing about American history. Now, I don't pretend to be a history buff, and I'm certainly not an expert on American history, but her comments about Paul Revere were so hysterically funny that it drove her supporters to Wikipedia to try and change American history in the online People's Encyclopedia. So she is so close as a runner-up for trying to be relevant that we're actually going to give her a smaller version of the award. This is as good a time as any to take a break, and on the flip side, we'll go through some more awards for 2011.
Would you like to record now? Start anywhere you like.
This is In Your Face Radio. Political talk without all the bullshit. In Your Face Radio. Radio without eating disorders.
Somebody of a felony without being convicted.
It is not outrageous, and I think it's outrageous for people to act as if you can only speak the way our criminal justice system works.
Drug use.
First smoked marijuana somewhere in California.
Or lies.
Moving the economy forward.
In Your Face Radio.
Hi, this is Derek Turner from FreePress.net and StopBigMedia.com, and you're listening to In Your Face Radio.
I think someone at my friend's school has this thing called autism. My friend's brother's son has autism. My neighbor's son has autism. My son has autism.
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, 1 in 110 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 600% increase in the last 20 years. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org.
Hi. Join us every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific, for JD In Your Face, a political rock goddess. Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here at InYourFaceRadio.net. Give it a voice.
In Your Face Radio.
We'll do it live! F*** it! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
We're doing it live.
And we're back from the break. Continuing our awards for 2011, I'm going to give the Flavor of the Month award to every Republican candidate for the presidency of the United States except Mitt Romney. Now, I understand giving the award to multiple people may be controversial, but you have to hear me out on this. See, Mitt Romney is most likely going to be the Republican nominee, unless, of course, Sarah Palin does decide to jump into the race at the very last minute to quote-unquote save the Republican Party, which she's going to threaten to do at some point because it's in such disarray. But again, that's going to be her efforts in 2012 to make herself seem relevant. But Mitt Romney is most likely going to be the Republican nominee. However, you have a segment of the Republican Party, the extreme right, that is not happy with Mitt Romney as the Republican nominee, even though of the clowns that are actually running for the Republican nomination, he's probably the only one who could beat Obama. in the election, or possibly beat Obama. And if it was up to me, I'm going to be honest, the Republican nominee I would support, not if he was going to run, is Huntsman. But Huntsman is a nice person. He doesn't attack candidates. And he's not an in-your-face kind of guy, but he is somebody that I could support if he was running. He's a moderate guy. He's intelligent, and I could support him. But he's never going to get any traction because he's a moderate. And for the same reason why Mitt Romney is hated by the certain segment of the Republican Party, Huntsman will never get any traction. However, Romney, as I said, he's the probable nominee. But because there's this far-right segment who doesn't think that Romney, which doesn't think that Romney is conservative enough, they, every week, every month, they get behind another, quote-unquote, more conservative candidate until that blows up in their faces. You had Michelle Bachmann, and that blew up. And interestingly enough, I mean, she's interviewing people considering people to be her vice president, and her numbers are in the single digits right now. So as much as she wants to pretend that her husband is straight, she also wants to pretend that she's going to be the Republican nominee. In any event, you had Michelle Bachmann, you had Herman Cain, who rose in the polls. You started out with Donald Trump, who rose in the polls. You have all these other people. I mean, even Rick Santorum is rising in the polls right now as we speak because he's so conservative. And it's the same people who are going through basically, okay, Herman Cain turned out to be a piece of shit. Bachmann turned out to be a piece of shit. Ron Paul gained some popularity and turned out that he's basically a Ku Klux Klan person, very nutty. Newt Gingrich got some rose in the polls for a while. And they fade, and it's a cyclical thing here. Now, of course, the people who are real right-wing whack jobs are claiming that every time somebody who has real conservative background is gains some popularity in the polls, that the quote-unquote liberal media does a hit job on them because they want Romney to be the candidate. No. Aside from the fact that I reject the premise that there is such a thing as the liberal media, the press doesn't care who's going to run against Obama. In fact, they would love somebody like Gingrich. They would love somebody like Paul. The nuttier, the better, because this is what they can write about. I mean, what the hell can you write about Mitt Romney? The guy is boring. Now, I mean, from a personal standpoint, he may be a bright guy, he may be a potentially excellent president, I have no idea, but there are no scandals. So the press likes scandals. And this is one of the reasons why, I know we're giving out awards now, but I have to give an aside, there is no such thing as a liberal press. And the reason is that the press is always run by corporations. They're owned by corporations. We're not talking about these little mom-and-pop newspapers that can have these biased spins and whatnot. But corporations exist to do one thing, and that is to make money, which means that the news that they put out, the articles that they write, the news shows that they put on TV, whether it's Fox News or whether it's MSNBC or whether it's anything else, it's designed to do one thing. It's designed to get an audience. Whether it's a viewer audience or a reader audience, it's designed to get an audience. Therefore, there is no bias with regard to what is being put out there. They're putting out there what they believe people want to hear and read. And if that doesn't work, they will try something else. So it's not per se that there is a bias in the media so much as it is there is a belief that the average person is interested in the stories and the articles that they are producing. Now, let's go back to the awards. Continuing with our political theme here, the award for demonstrating how to destroy a political career in 10 seconds or less goes to Harry Okorno. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but he is a state legislator in New Hampshire. He showed up at Orly Tate's hearing in front of the New Hampshire ballot committee in her quixotic efforts to keep Barack Obama off the ballots for the 2012 election. And when the committee unanimously denied her request, he stood up and started calling people traitors and telling them that they had violated the Constitution. And he has continued his campaign even though he has been told to knock it off by the head of the New Hampshire Republican Party. His career is in the crapper, and I'm not sure exactly what he expected to achieve, but then again, Harry is, he's a kook. Earlier this year, he tried to charge President Obama with treason. I don't get it, but political prisoner of the year goes to Lieutenant Kirchner. For those of you who don't know who Kirchner is, he is somebody who claims that there has been fraud or corruption with regard to a grand jury system in his home state or his home county. He has committed various crimes and keeps ending up in the county jail. But according to the extreme right, teabaggers, windbaggers, birthers, and whatnot, he is a political prisoner, and the only reason why he's in jail is because he opposes the Obama regime, as they call it. Now, we're going to give two special awards for the best names of the year. One is to, I think he's a sergeant. Sergeant Moran. His actual name is Moran, I think. It's M-O-R-A-N. But clearly he's a moron. He's somebody who claimed to be disobeying orders because he challenged the legitimacy of President Obama and his eligibility to be president. He was essentially given a psychiatric leave, and he was going to be leaving the military service anyway. He had already been approved when he decided to make announcements that he was going to be disobeying any orders until Obama was out of the White House. And so his name was perfectly suited. His name is Moran. And there is a presidential candidate whose name is Dummy. It's actually probably Dumay, but let's call him Dummy because he's running as I think he's running for the Republican nomination, and at the same time, he is a birther candidate and is running basically on a birther ticket. So his name is Dummy, and he is part of a class action suit against the president, which will, of course, go nowhere, because all birther lawsuits go nowhere. It's 2011 was a very, very funny year in a lot of ways. in some ways, I'm sorry to see it go, and in some ways, I'm very happy to see it go. But it is now 2012, and this year, hopefully, is going to be as funny as last year, and I'm going to continue to do my shows, and we're going to find stuff to laugh about and stuff to cry about. So I hope you all have a very happy new year, and I'll be talking to you again next week.